Okay, good morning. Our topic last week and spilling slightly over into this week was sort of the basic organization of cellular networks. And again, the goal is to provide large-scale wireless coverage for mobile users. And what we observed was that since any wireless connection has only a finite range, we are going to need to have some collection of access points, or in this case, base stations, to provide that coverage, again, over a large area. Okay. And so, from the view of the user, if you add in the idea of mobility, then you add in the idea that the user is going to have to switch from connecting to one of these base stations to connecting to another base station, and the other additional issues of management of sort of the location of the user that wouldn't be present for a wired system. Okay, and so we took a quick look at how a call might be established for a cellular system, and then we went on to this idea of, again, how do you provide this large-scale coverage? And we said that it relied basically on the fact that since the signal strength does decrease as some factor of distance, we can reuse our frequencies, provided there's sufficient distance between the points of reuse. Okay, and so we saw how that layout, how that worked and how you could accomplish that. And again, it's a function of a number of factors, but primarily, again, the interference that signal is going to experience from other signals using the same frequency band. Okay, we said a few words about power control, and so again with the goal of sort of minimizing the level of power at which signals have to be transmitted while still overcoming noise. We looked at some basic results of traffic engineering, which could tell us roughly how many users can be supported within such a system. And yet we made a lot of simplifying assumptions, like the users were sort of evenly spread among over the entire area, etc., and that, you know, we didn't account for mobility, we just assumed that they'd stay in one place. But we saw, again, that you can support more users than you actually have channels, because the users aren't using the channels all the time. And so that's a sort of a well-known statistical analysis result. The final topic, which we didn't get to last time, was the idea of increasing the capacity in the system. So we've seen, again, for our basic cellular layout, something like, you know, hexagonal cells and, you know, so many cells before the channel is reused, etc. We've seen sort of how the channels can be allocated and what implications that has for the number of users in the system. The following is just sort of a collection of tricks or that can be used to try and increase that the number of users that you can have in the system. And these tricks sort of vary from attempting to make more efficient use of your channels. Again, we have this assumption so far that sort of the users are evenly spread, therefore you might as well evenly spread around the allocation of channels. But that may not be the case. You may have sort of points of congestion where there are loads of users and other points where there are very few users. So can you reallocate the channels within those points? Two, are there other architectures, are there other ways to arrange your system so that you can increase the capacity? There we go. Okay. So, again, these are all fairly straightforward variations on the sort of basic architecture that we've seen so far, with the goal of sort of being able to serve more users within a system. And so, basically, we can try and change sort of the cells themselves, or we can take a more global system-wide view and see what we do within a sort of, if we look in sort of trade-off between the cells. Okay, so within a cell, what can we do? Well, if your cell is busy, potentially you can add more channels, if not all of the channels are in use at the moment. And that can be, again, expanded to sort of negotiations between cells where potentially a cell can borrow channels from adjacent cells which are less congested. Now, obviously, if you do that, you have to think about your, you are changing the configuration of your system, and you are going to have an impact on the interference. If you move a channel from one cell to another, you've changed the relative distances between the reuse of channels. Okay. We can also change the configuration of the cell itself, and this can be done in a number of ways. First of which is referred to as cell splitting. So if you have a congested cell, you can subdivide it into a number of smaller cells. Each cell will have its own base station. And the essential effect of that is that you've decreased cell size while maintaining the same number of channels per cell, so hopefully with the decreasing cell size you'll decrease the number of users within the cell. Okay. Cell sectoring is an alternative to cell splitting where now the cell is divided into wedges, essentially. So you use directional antennas instead of omnidirectional antennas. And so, again, the area of coverage is less, but more importantly, the potential interference is less as well. If you direct your signal in a specific direction, then you're going to have less cells interfere, you know, contributing to the interference of the signal, and therefore you can improve the signal to interference ratio. Okay. And finally, microcells sort of take, move on from cell sectoring, and instead of having, again, the base station in the center of the cell, as it would be for either cell split or splitting or cell sectoring, microcells place the base stations at the edges of the cells and direct the signal inwards. Okay, and we'll see how that works in a minute. Okay. Then, again, overall, we can, again, look over sort of wider ranges to see how we should allocate our channels, and again, potentially do that sort of on the fly, okay, instead of a pre-allocation of channels within a cell. And the final technique we'll look at is used in CDMA and is referred to as cell breathing. So again, the idea that is we're going to change the size of the cell depending on congestion. So if you reduce the size of the cell, hopefully you'll reduce the number of users within the cell. Okay. So our first technique is channel assignment. And again, there's a number of ways of assigning channels within the cells. Now, our first cut at that was just to have an equal allocation of channels for each cell, and that's fixed at the time of sort of design of the system. Okay. Now, again, if there's sort of very predictable usage patterns where one cell is sort of typically more congested than other cells, then we can think of assigning that cell more channels, and you know, that can be done sort of, again, in a fixed way. Possibly, if there's a variation in the usage of the cells, then you want to sort of not have an allocation of channels that's flexible, that accounts for the usage of the change in usage throughout some time period. Okay, and that can be done, again, in a fairly regulated way, a scheduled way, or just based on observations about congestion within a system. And finally, you can sort of do an all bets are off dynamic allocation, sort of an on-demand allocation of the channel resources. Now, the problem with that is, you know, well, you can if you start thinking about it, that's going to be quite complex to manage. Okay, so just running through the various possibilities fairly quickly. If we have fixed strategies, again, the simplest, but obviously the least flexible. And so, as before, with a fixed strategy, the connection can only be set up if the channel is available. So these sorts of strategies aren't going to account for variations, sort of fluctuations with the number of channels, the number of connections required over a period of time. And but you know, I would say that you can actually, and if you try varying sort of cells or cell size, it's also difficult to contend for. Okay. So, if you want to, again, account for some variation in channels, then the most straightforward way of doing it is what's called a simple borrowing scheme, and the channels can be borrowed from adjacent cells. Okay. And in order to do that, you have to, somebody has to keep a record of how many channels are used, again, sort of within a cell cluster. Okay. Okay, so essentially what you've done is you've provided sort of more flexibility within a larger grouping of cells, and this can improve the situation up to a certain point, but if the system then is sort of congested enough, it actually makes the situation worse. Okay, because again, you've stolen cells from one area, and then sort of if that area needs those cells, they're not available. Okay. And so hybrid channel assignment assumes that basically you want to at least have some minimum amount of resources available in a given cell. And so you divide your channels into two categories, one which is fixed and cannot be borrowed, and a second which can. And finally, borrowing with ordering, the number of channels belonging to the sort of fixed and flexible and borrowable allocations can change dynamically. Okay. And so at the opposite end of the spectrum, you have dynamic strategies where there's no permanent channel assignment to cells, and the channel assignment is performed on a call-by-call basis. And again, there has to be then some entity which decides on the channel allocation. Typically, this would be the MSC, again, with the MSC being able to control a number of base stations. Okay. And so the MSC is going to then select a channel based on information about blocking probabilities, the current utilization within the cells, the current distance a cell is from some other cell using the same channel. Okay. So again, you can sort of think that that's going to be quite a complex analysis, and in particular in terms of signal interference, and again in terms of getting into a situation where you've taken too many channels from one area, not leaving enough to satisfy the needs of another area. Okay, and so flexible strategies sort of are halfway house between those two fixed strategies and completely dynamic strategies. And again here, each cell is going to have some minimum number of channels by which it can serve the needs within the cell. and then the MSC is allowed to assign the remaining channels dynamically. Okay. And so typically the strategies will, again, do the channel assignments, not on a call-by-call basis, but on some analysis of traffic patterns throughout the day. But it is also possible to do it sort of completely dynamically, sort of try and predict how the usage is going to go. Okay, and this slide seems to be slightly out of order, but I'm just returning to the call-by-call assignments. Again, the idea here is that you try to allocate some channel as long as the signal-to-interference ratio requirements are met, but it becomes a quite complex problem to estimate the impact of the channel assignments on the system overall. And so it's viewed as being something that's good if the system's not terribly heavily loaded, but if globally the system is well loaded, then you get sort of non-optimal channel assignments, which are problematic to fix. Okay. So, again, the idea here is just that you can try and balance the capacity of the system, again, if you know that your users are not sort of evenly distributed through the system. You can allocate more resources to the more heavily utilized areas. And again, doing this statically, sort of just if this usage is predictable and it's fairly predictable, then that this can be done statically, and it's not that difficult. If it's unpredictable, then again you need a more dynamic approach. But those dynamic approaches can lead to non-optimal allocations. Okay. So, leaving aside sort of the allocation of channels and returning to our basic layout, there are a number of ways in which we can sort of play with that layout to try and optimize the number of users. Okay. So the first technique that we look at here is cell splitting. So the capacity of the cell is increased by splitting congested cells into more smaller cells. And so obviously each cell needs its own base station. Okay. Now, if what you're doing essentially is shrinking the size of the cells, then you can convince yourself that the reuse factor remains constant, and therefore the capacity is increasing by the number of new cells. Okay, so what you've done is you've shrunk everything, so you still have the the same number of channels per cell. But now that allocation is over a smaller area, so you should have less users. So over any fixed area, you have more channels per area. Okay. Okay. And so again, the main thing to do is to convince yourself that the power ratios remain the same. And so again, we can calculate the power sort of at the edge of the cell. And then we can see what happens then if we reduce the cell radius. And we see that what happens is that we end up reducing the power at which we need to transmit our signal. Okay. So if we reduce the power, then then the interference is the same, and both the reuse distance and the cell radius have been reduced by the same factor. So our reuse factor remains the same. Now, again, the main point is that since the reuse factor is the same, each of these smaller cells has the same number of channels as our larger cell. And so overall, spatially, we've increased the number of channels. Okay, so that's great. All we need to do is keep shrinking and shrinking, adding more base stations. But unfortunately, and for each base station transmitting at a lower power, unfortunately there are a few drawbacks to this scheme. One is that, we do need more base stations, so that's a cost factor. And also, we've already said that it's not possible to just put base stations anywhere, so the more you need, the more problematic it becomes to actually site them. Okay. We're also, again, decreasing the power of transmission. And this is possible up to a point, but you still have to overcome your noise levels, so you can only do that up to a certain point. And finally, as the size of your cells decreases, the likelihood of handover is increasing. So if you're a mobile user just walking along, talking on your cell phone, then smaller cells, the more of them you're going to potentially traverse over the space of a conversation. So, the handover is not instantaneous, so if the cells are too small, you could possibly be in the situation where you couldn't accomplish handover fast enough. Okay. Now, the next few techniques that we consider are techniques where we try to keep the cell size the same while improving our signal to interference ratio. The first technique is cell sectoring. And for cell sectoring, the cell is divided into wedges. And each wedge essentially is assigned a different subset of the cell's channels. So if a cell has a certain channel allocation, you divide it equally among each of the sectors. Okay. And so typically, you split the cell into something like 3, 6, or maybe 8 sectors. Okay. Now, what you have there then is your sectors are governed by directional antennas, and therefore the interference from these directional antennas is again directional. This antenna, for instance, will not be interfering with these cells that are behind the antenna. Okay. And so, in this way, the number of cells that interfere with your transmission is reduced. Okay, and so as an example for this cell, this cell behind it still would interfere, as would this cell in the bottom left-hand side. But the other cells, again, their transmissions would be away from the region, so they would not interfere. So what we've done is we've decreased the number of interfering cells from 6 to 2. And so that means that the signal interference ratio is decreased, and we know that the reuse factor depends on the signal to interference ratio, so that changes and changes optimally. Okay, so the drawback to this system is that we have increased the number of antennas and base stations. In the example, we've tripled it, but obviously each sector needs its own antenna and base station. Now, handover has to occur not just between cells, but within a cell as you travel from one sector to another. And potentially you decrease the channel utilization again. So within a cell, if your users aren't evenly distributed, if they're bunched up in one area, within the cell you may have channels that are free but cannot be accessed by the users. So you've just decreased the allocation of channels. Okay, so our final technique for along these lines is, Okay, so if we look at, we'll just run through the example. Have our signal to interference ratio as before as a factor of our reuse. And so for our sectorized system, we get the reuse factors, two-thirds, the signal interference ratio for our non-sectorized system, it would be twice the signal interference ratio.
Okay.
And so what we see is, again, we've decreased our reuse factor, and therefore we've increased the number of channels that are available per cell. Okay, so our final technique, again, the problem with our cell sectoring, again, was mainly an inefficient use of the channel allocations within a cell. And microcell zones, then, is a technique to get around this. And so with microcell zones, instead of having your base station in the center of the cell and directing your antennas outward and your signal outward, you have your transmitters at the edges of the cell, and you direct your antennas inward then. And so again, you have you have directional antennas, but they're now pointed inwards into the cell. Okay. And so then we have the base station controls the antennas and selects which one to use to or what channel to allocate for a communication. And so in this case, your user, as they travel through the cell, can maintain the same channel. So they switch from one antenna to another, but they maintain the same channel, so it's not a handover. There's no issues of handover. Okay. And so it has all the advantages of the sectorization in terms of directionality and reducing signal to interference ratio, and it also allows for an efficient use of channels within the cell, since any of the antennas can use any of the channels. Okay, just to conclude this section, so all of those, the previous techniques refer to our standard orthogonal channel sets. If we're using a CDMA system where, again, all channels are used in all cells, then we have one technique called cell breathing, which allows for changes in congestion within the cell. And the idea of cell breathing is to, again, try and reduce the amount of users within a given cell. And so the range of the cell is set to be inversely proportional to the number of users in the cell. So as you have more cell, as you have more users, you shrink the size of the cell, and therefore this will limit the number of new users in the cell and work to keep the interference amongst users in the cell at a manageable level. Okay, so that wraps up our discussion of sort of basic cellular layout. What we're going to do now is we're going to sort of take a detour today and look at examples of other different sorts of wireless networks. So again, the cellular networks have grown out of the telephony community, and with the goal initially anyway of providing voice connectivity, and again with mobility. We will return to the cellular world. We'll be discussing a we'll be looking at specific examples of cellular architectures from GSM up to LTE, and discussing what are sort of the main features of sort of how cellular networks are implemented. And we'll start that next week with Hrishikesh. We'll be taking the next four lectures, and he'll talk about GSM and a few other and ad hoc networks as well. And then I'll return to talk about sort of beyond GSM. Okay. Before we do that, we're going to again contrast what we've seen here with wireless LANs and also the example of Bluetooth, which is sort of very small area coverage networks. Okay, so we'll have a short break now. We're going to actually have two breaks this time, since we've got, again, two more topics. We've got the wireless LANs, and then we'll look at Bluetooth. So maybe come back in about 5 minutes.